Our epistle lesson today is from Acts 10, verses 44 to 48. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they invited him to stay for several days. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that your Spirit would indeed be poured out upon each and every one of us, Lord. Be with us here in this time and place, we pray. Amen. Today's story is about believing something almost unbelievable, especially when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough in the Presbyterian Church, and yet it is this super important part of the Trinity. Just as important as God the Father and the Son, the Creator and the Redeemer, we have the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit started what we call the church at Pentecost. Today's story is a continuation of that movement of the Spirit to expand God's kingdom. We do believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in our theology. We have a phrase in our denomination, "Reformed and always reforming, according to the power of the Holy Spirit." It means we can't ever stay still. We shouldn't get stagnant. God is still speaking and acting through the Holy Spirit like a wind that blows you can't see, but you can feel it and experience it. Today's story, as I was telling the kids, starts back in the beginning of Acts 10 when Cornelius, the Roman centurion, has this vision. And he's a man who fears God, gives to people in need, and he has this vision. And in the vision, God says, "Your prayers, your offerings have ascended as a memorial to me. So send men to Joppa to find a man called Peter." That's exactly what he did. He sent men to Joppa. They brought back Peter with them. And while Cornelius had been having this vision of his own, Peter was having a vision, and he was an upright Jewish man, as we know, following all the dietary laws. But when he had this vision, it says he went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground, and in it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds, and he heard a voice from God saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "No, Lord, no, I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." And the voice said to him again, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." And that voice happened two more times. Peter was trying to make sense of this when the guys showed up at his door to bring him back to Cornelius's house. And when they got back to Cornelius's house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and tried to worship him. And Peter said, "Stand up, I'm only a mortal." And as they talked, Peter went in and he said, "You know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with a Gentile. But God has shown me today that I shall not call anyone profane or unclean. That is why I came." This is when Cornelius tells Peter about his vision and then says, "I sent for you immediately, and now we've gathered here to listen to the word of God from you." And Peter started to preach, and he told a whole sermon about the life and ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus. And as he's doing this, the Holy Spirit just descends upon all the people. These Gentiles, these friends of Cornelius, they start speaking in tongues and praising God. And the Jewish people who are there can't believe it, but they know that it is the Spirit. And that's when Peter said, "Can anyone withhold water for their baptism?" And he has them baptized. It's a wild and amazing story because these two guys in the Bible, they have these visions at the same time, and in both of them, the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. It reminds me how powerful and amazing the Holy Spirit is and how shocking and surprising that the Holy Spirit is even today, and yet it shouldn't shock us when we hear stories about the Spirit being poured out upon new people. Because in John 3, Jesus said that God's only Son came into the world for the whole world, not just a few, the whole world. The problem is we don't live in the whole world. You, me, we each live in our own little corners of the world, right? And usually our little corner of the world is very comfortable and familiar, and we do a lot of the same things and say a lot of the same things. Do you have a favorite restaurant? Do you usually order the same thing? If you're like me, yeah, I go to IHOP, you know what I want. Teresa, remember? Belgian waffle combo, scrambled eggs, 2 pieces of bacon, coffee. Do you have a favorite way that you go to work or church? Do you have a favorite gas station? I'm a Quick Trip girl, love it. Love their iced tea. And I drive almost the same way to church every day. Do you have a favorite grocery store? Favorite things that are always on your list? We are using an app now. And guess what? It has a section called your favorites, which means that basically we keep ordering the same food over and over and over again. It's just human nature to do this, to stick with what's familiar and comfortable, to stay in our comfort zones because life is so crazy and chaotic that staying with the familiar makes us feel secure, more at ease. Who doesn't want that? It's also human nature to have these boundary lines, to identify with people like us. We raise our kids to identify with the family, with our people. But in Acts 10, we see that God is about breaking down barriers, breaking down boundaries, and breaking through what's comfortable and familiar to open up the doors of God's kingdom. Peter's vision about no food being unclean, it opened the door for him to see that no person was unclean. The Holy Spirit breaking down a barrier. So the question for us today is, where are the barriers in our hearts? Where are those barriers and boundary lines in our lives? And where are they in our church? Where might God be wanting to break down some barriers? We all tend to hang out with people who look and think a lot like us, right? Most of our time every day, day in, day out, is spent with people that we're familiar with because that's comfortable. That's what we do. Most of you know that I am, or if you don't, you should, I'm the only woman senior pastor in Owosso. We have 75 churches, but somehow this is the case in 2018. So when I go to a pastor's meeting in town, it's me and a bunch of guys, which isn't always easy, much less comfortable. But I have something to learn from people, even people who may not allow women to serve in their tradition, and I believe I have something to share with them as well. They might learn from me. I might learn from them. It's good for us to be with people who are not exactly like us. At the National Day of Prayer breakfast on Thursday, I sat at a table of believers from very different Christian traditions, very different. We all had different ways of praying out loud, and it was beautiful and amazing because here we were, praying so differently and yet to the same God. I heard a woman beside me praying in tongues. Another man was just praying aloud the whole time. Some of us were taking turns praying. I may not pray the same way at the people at that table, but it is powerful that we came together in prayer, that we demonstrated that one body of Christ. In John 17, Jesus prays for all believers that they would be one, one body. That was the theme of the prayer this year, was unity. And it was amazing to see it happening right in front of us at breakfast. There's a real danger in living our lives only in the comfortable and familiar. There's a real danger if we feel like we can just control everything in our lives, because the only person in control is God, not us. It might be why some of the most control freaky people are the most stressed out. Because trying to control your whole life is really just an illusion. We can try to keep things all the same, but the reality is, we all know it, the only constant in life is what? Change. Everything is always changing around us. God is constantly working in this change in our world. And it's good news when you think about it. If it makes you tired and irritated to see things constantly change, what about this? We can stand back and realize that God is still in control of all that. God is the one walking with us through the change. God's our only hope of navigating through all the changes in the world, because God's the only thing that does not change. God is the only thing that does not change. Our Savior doesn't change. Our salvation, the love and mercy and grace of God does not change. So how do we go forward through all these changes of life? We do it by holding on to the Holy Spirit. That gift that Jesus promised us when he left the earth. We learn to ride these waves of change. We learn to break down barriers and boundaries by holding tight to the Spirit, which is not easy, because Jesus says in John 3, it's like a wind that blows and you can't see where it's coming from or where it's going. And yet, that's the power in our lives, in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is a little rogue doing something new all the time. Easter was something totally new. To have someone resurrected from the dead, it turned the whole world upside down. It started a whole new time in history and gave people a whole new reason for living, quite literally. It's no wonder that God wanted that news about new life to spread to the ends of the earth. Now think about this. If you had a secret to constant joy and peace, wouldn't you want everyone in your life to know about that? I would. Truth is, we do have the secret in our faith. So don't we want as many people as possible to know that joy and peace? But how does it happen? It doesn't happen by just saying and doing the same familiar things day after day after day. It happens when we move outside some of our comfort zones. When we find and meet and befriend new people, or maybe people that have always been right around us, but we haven't ever reached out to them before. And just like the Holy Spirit can make us a little bit nervous, all this sharing of good news can make us nervous too. Now, am I saying you need to go door to door sharing your faith? Not necessarily. What if instead you lived your life paying attention to God's call? What if you lived your life paying attention to the Holy Spirit in your life, like Cornelius? What if we live lives of faith and pay attention when something comes from God? Like Peter, what if we pay attention when God challenges us? And our ideas of who is good and who's not, who's in and who's out. Have you ever had a vision from God? If you say no, are you sure? Because sometimes God is subtle. Sometimes God just gives us a little nudge in the side, a little sign, a little hint that we might miss if we're not paying attention. I think God also gives churches visions for opening up the doors of God's kingdom. Where is God doing that in this church? Peter says that he hears from God. God shows no partiality. In other words, God loves all people. The question is, do we? Where is God asking you to live that out? How is God asking our church to do that? Paul writes something very powerful in Galatians 3:28. He says, there's no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female. All of you are one in Christ Jesus, which is awesome news. It may sound trite to say that God loves everyone, but it really is a powerful, revolutionary statement if we take it to heart. So how do we take it to heart and take it in our church? I read the most beautiful story this week by David Brooks about two Italian couples in Como, Italy. Neither one of these couples had any desire to have children or to have any kind of faith. But one day, after meeting an Italian priest who described faith as an encounter with beauty and a love story with God, they all became Christians. And their lives slowly started to change. Brooks writes, "Some of the people who do the most good have a willingness to be changed. They are sensitive to the problems around them, which a lot of us are, but they are also willing to transform their lives to address them, which a lot of us don't consider. These two couples each felt God nudging them. First, they heard about an abandoned HIV-positive baby, and they decided to bring that baby into their home, one of the couples. Another couple heard about another disabled child and brought this child into their home. Eventually, they lived together and got together with other couples who were also fostering and adopting disabled children, and they eventually built a whole compound, a beautiful place called Cometa, where they take in abandoned children and raise them surrounded by beauty and love. One of the wives said, "At first, I was afraid of disabled children, but her presence has been a revolution of love. Now they have a huge after-school program where over 100 kids come. They've recently added a vocational high school, a mental health center, a cafe. Do you want to know what their motto is? Beauty educates. So the grounds are beautiful with immaculate gardens and gorgeous living quarters. Every single piece of furniture in the whole place is lovely. And every broken toy is immediately fixed. They say that kids who grew up being cursed at, abandoned, hurt, abused, now are surrounded by love and beauty so that they know how important and cherished they are." Brooks said, "Like all of us, the people at Cometa are aware that the worldwide decline of family and community has left millions of children estranged from any experience of a loving home. And unlike most of us, they've transformed their lives to fill in that gap. How is God calling us to get outside our comfort zones, to break down any barriers or boundaries to show God's love? Where are you feeling that little nudge of the Holy Spirit, and how will you pay attention to that call?" Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. God shows no partiality. The question is, do we? May we be open to the power of the Holy Spirit so we can see the doors of the kingdom of God opened wide. And to that, all God's people said, amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed.